σε φέρνω στο μυαλό. Νιώθω πως σε φιλάω σαν άλλα χείλη που φιλώ.
Μαραμένη πικρά φανήκε στα βλέφαρα σου επάνω. Άσε να τη γλυκάνω, χαρά να ξαναβγεί. Το χαμόγελο που σου κλέψε εγώ θα το προκάνω. Σαν ήλιο να το κάνω, στα χείλη σου να βγει. Μια καρδιά τα χέρια μου σου φαίνανε. Κάν' την ό,τι θες, είναι για σένα ναι. Μια καρδιά τα χέρια μου σου φαίνανε. Κάν' την ό,τι θες, είναι για σένα ναι.
All right, we are right on time at 11 o'clock, and we got the opening bell right there. Manny Frangidakis, 12 Points Wealth Management, joining us to discuss the market. Manny, good morning. I'm here with Costa as well as Petro this morning. Καλημέρα σας.
Καλημέρα.
Καλημέρα, Μανώλη. Καλημέρα. Ακούω εκεί βαράνε, θα τους τα πάρουμε ψυχρό σήμερα, από ό,τι φαίνεται.
Θα ήταν τα κάλατα.
How's everybody this morning? Stamati's with me as well.
Oh, Stamati, yeah.
Καλημέρα, Stamati.
Καλημέρα, καλημέρα.
Καλημέρα
στα μάτια όλα πράσινα, ε. Σαν τον Παναθηναϊκό.
Όλα πράσινα, yeah, that's right.
Just like the Celtics, opening
παιδιά,
day, that's right.
Ναι, ναι, λυπούμε να σας πω ότι έχασε στο φούτμπολ τον Brian το Σαββάτο. Εντάξει, ναι.
Και είχα like, πολλοί φίλοι που ήταν στο παιχνίδι. I wasn't able to go because I was down in Philadelphia, but you know, they had a good showing from a fan perspective, but couldn't put a W on the board.
Yeah, well, it was
alumni weekend. I didn't go either. But the alumni weekend. But nonetheless, Manny, markets are turning green today, and that's a good sign because we haven't had much of that lately. So I'll defer to you.
Well, we talked about it last week, right? You know, sentiment was at zero. The trade was completely one-sided. Everyone was short the market, and we were sitting at the highest cash level since 2001.
Mm-hmm.
So we figured that, you know, and this is exactly what we talked about earlier this year, that we thought that we were going to hit some heavy volatility in September and October, and then we would get to a period where markets would calm down, that we would hit an earnings period that we're currently in, that earnings aren't that bad. We're looking at a 70% beat right now for the indexes. And people are, you know, caught one-sided. So now you have people capitulating, investors capitulating, trying to get money back into the market. You're seeing massive investments this morning. And you know, I think you're setting yourself up for, you know, a decent year-end rally. Now, this could very well be a bear market bounce. We're not expecting a new leg. We're not going to go make a higher high.
Mm-hmm.
But could this market go reach 4,000 in the S&P? It could, yeah. And I think people are offside because of it. And, you know, I don't know how they're going to – if people pulled their money and took their ball and went home a couple months ago, I don't know how you get back invested at this point.
Yeah. Manny, what do you think about the banks? It looks like those were the first ones that they showed some good earnings, and people are riding on the earnings. Is that going to stay?
Well, we've talked about it multiple times that the financials were our favorite sector going into this year. You know, they're well capitalized. They have great loans on their books. The balance sheet looks great. Net interest margin is increasing. Deposits are up 1.5%, whether you're looking at actual cash deposits or deposits into treasury yields. You know, for some banks like Goldman Sachs, they had a great beat this morning. Yes, IB investment banking might be down 40 to 50% year to date, but they're making money in a lot of different lines right now. And, you know, they're one of the healthiest sectors in the economy. And that was a focal point that we've been stressing all year. So we're very happy to see this. We're invested alongside all these banks for the most part. And I think that it continues. Now in 2023, we probably had slow growth. I don't see them declining further, but the banks from here, if you have a multi-year time horizon, are a great investment.
Yep. And what are you think there is some value? I know growth stocks, a lot of people are running away. For the daring investor, and is this should they dip their toe in? I mean, there is some big names with that their valuations are very, very attractive or low. I don't know if it's attractive, but it's low.
Yeah. So right now you can buy great companies at good prices. I think down the road you're going to be able to buy great companies at great prices. So I'm not ready to jump in into the tech space right away. We already have exposure. We still hang on to Google and Amazon. We've always had those in our portfolios for the most part and have added throughout this year. But outside of those two, I'm not willing to chase them at this point in time. I do think that, you know, inflation still rears its ugly head around again later this year and at the beginning of 2023. And it depends on the path of the Fed, right? So most of these interest rates have been hiked, have been priced in, especially for 2022. The key question is, are they going to be aggressive in 2023? If the Fed is aggressive in terms of tightening policy in 2023 as they were in 2022, it's not going to be good news for tech. It's going to bring down growth, and it's going to have a reset in their valuations further.
Mm-hmm. Now, they did say that, last question from them, Goldman Sachs, they said they're worried about the recession, but we see, you know, business moving forward. We saw a huge merger. Kroger and Albertsons, $25 billion merger. The American companies, they are still trying to get bigger, trying to get more dominance. Things are still moving ahead.
Yeah, and I think M&A is still going to exist. I mean, I just heard of a merger right now that I can't speak of because it's not on public yet. We got a phone call today, but it's not a publicly traded company, so it's not like it's insider information. But it is a Japanese company buying another U.S. financial services firm here in the U.S. It's not been announced yet, but that just shows you that M&A activity is going to persist even in a recession or negative market environment. Now, the recession, it doesn't feel like we're in a recession yet. And that's what Bank of America and Goldman Sachs is saying, is that everyone got way too excited. They acted like the sky was falling over the last couple months when, in fact, earnings have been pretty good. The question is what happens in 2023? So we expect a run-up in prices, you know, throughout the remainder of this year. You have very little data that's going to affect any policy decisions at this point in time. You have the next piece of data on the 28th, which will be the personal consumption expenditure. That is the key inflation rate that the Federal Reserve is going to want to look at. And then from there, you have Fed speakers that will talk once or twice a week. Tomorrow, you will have Neil Kashkari. You'll have James Bullard on Thursday. And then you will have your Fed meeting on November 2nd and November 3rd with an announcement. Most likely you're going to get 75 basis points. That's fully priced into the market. Then you're going to have your midterm elections, which is going to throw another, you know, wrench into the engine, depending on how those outcomes look. And then from there, you're going to go into year end and holiday shopping, which we would imagine is going to be pretty strong still, given the fact that consumers have pent up savings. You know, we're still sitting with a lot of cash on the sidelines here. And the unemployment rate hasn't ticked up at all. So people are not truly concerned about losing their jobs at this period of time.
Manny, can you explain to me and to the listening audience that, you know, might not be aware, mergers and acquisitions. We heard it's Kroger's and who is it? Is it Kroger's and Publix that are Kroger's and
Publix?
And who is it? Who are the two players that are merging?
Two supermarket.
Two Kroger's, and what's the other one, Stamati, you just
mentioned?
Albertsons. Kroger's. And explain to me, what is the difference between a merger and an acquisition? So they're merging together, so who?
It's the same thing.
So who is acquiring? So who's acquiring whom?
My guess is it's Kroger, since they're the much larger company.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't looked into this yet in terms of a deal. We're not truly invested in those spaces right now.
Yeah.
But an M&A, mergers and acquisition, is like essentially like I'm, you know, coming to buy your company or your book of business because I find it attractive and I see future cash flows, you know, rising, in that I think that I could, you know, combine my businesses and build a stronger moat around my own business. And so I'm going to take company A, I'm going to take company B, I'm going to merge them together And it could be in a stock sale. It could be in a cash sale. You're seeing it right now with, you know, Elon. That's an M&A deal with him buying Twitter at, you know, $53 a share. Mm-hmm. That's M&A. You know, he's going to make a cash offer for a certain amount for the share price, and he will acquire the company outright. And most, you know, and then it's up to him whether he decides to take it public, take it private, or keep it as a public entity.
So an M&A, merger and an acquisition, it is an acquisition. It's a purchase. It's a purchase. It's
correct.
Not, it's not, you know, we're
right.
merging the two together just to, you know, obviously you're going to have the benefits of more purchasing power and so forth and so on. But it is an outright purchase. So
yeah,
conceivably they could change their name. They could change their name to one name.
Absolutely. You have companies that rebrand all the time because, you know, one of the things, especially when we talk about, you know, this rally that's currently happening.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we went back and we did research on was that how many companies have puked over the last year, meaning how at what point could we get to 1,000 plus public companies that were down, that are down 80% from their peak valuation in 2021. So right now you hit that in September. We're over 1,000 companies that dropped 80% in value.
80% in value.
Correct.
That's huge.
So this is why everybody's offsides at the moment. You know, the sky could potentially fall in 2023, where it's too early to tell because, again, all of this is going to be dependent on the Fed. How hard are they willing to push against this string? Because they almost broke the Bank of England. I think they're starting to get, you know, a picture in their mind that they have to be less aggressive and more data dependent. For example, part of the, you know, inflation debate right now of whether it's peaking or not is the housing data, which is a key component in inflation and makes a huge percentage of the actual CPI report, is data that is coming in from summer of 2021 because it's a six-month lag. So hopefully they don't push too aggressively because at that point you risk the Fed breaking something. That's going to determine what 2023 looks like and whether you have a soft landing or a deep recession.
Let's close out with the real estate market. We're hearing, you know, I heard kind of a mixed message this morning on my way in on WBZ. Obviously, with interest rates rising, you know, people are buying less home. Some prices are actually dropping. But on the same token, I heard in Massachusetts, in the Warren report just published, that the, you know, the average median home, the price is still increasing. So there's a little bit of a void there for me in regards to what exactly is happening to real estate. Are people, you know, still buying because they know that it's a solid investment? What's your take on what's going on in that?
Those that are buying right now have a need to buy, meaning I'm living in a two-bedroom apartment and I have, you know, my third child on the way and I need to move. Like, I don't have an option.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the people that are currently buying. The other side of the component, Teddy, is nobody's selling. Because
mm-hmm.
if I'm selling my house in Belmont with a 2.5% or 3% interest rate, and yes, I have made a ton of money on that home because I've owned it for 20 years and I've got great equity in that house,
mm-hmm.
where do you go? Because now when I go buy, I'm going to have to double my interest rate.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to see houses really dropping at this point in time, especially in an insulated region like Massachusetts, unless someone has a need to sell or a need to buy. Could that get worse? Yes. If you see the unemployment rate tick up significantly in 2023 or later, that could significantly change the real estate market because you did have a significant amount of people that bought in the last 1 to 2 years that could potentially be somewhat underwater in their home. And then if they wanted, you know, let's say one of the primary breadwinners loses their job mm-hmm. due to the unemployment rate ticking up in a hard recession, that's going to change the, you know, the game in real estate.
By the way, in West Palm Beach, prices have dropped 25%.
Really?
Yeah. 25%.
So
in some areas, up to 30, maybe 32. Yeah.
The average decline across the entire country right now, you know, if you took the average,
mm-hmm.
the entire real estate market of the United States, housing is down 6% year to date.
Yeah. Very interesting. Closing comments, Stamatis.
So Manoli, let's make it. I'll be, you know, like for us, the people that were not really that well educated as far as the market is. Assuming somebody had $100,000 to invest today, how would you recommend they do it?
So I'm doing this right now for three or four new clients that have just came in. This is brand new capital. We want to be ultra conservative as we don't know what the landscape's going to look like next year. We're rolling treasuries for the next year. So by the 3 months, by the 6 months, by the 9 months, by the 1 year. And what that's going to give you the opportunity to do is to pick up on average about 4.5% yield for the next year. So it's a pretty great return. It's better than what a CD is giving you. It's better than what the bank deposits are giving you. Mm-hmm. And then from there, you can dollar cost your way in with the idea of being fully invested 1 year from inception, meaning if we started tomorrow, by next year, by this time next year, we should have you fully invested into a model by dollar cost averaging you in, meaning that when that 3 month treasury bill goes up, we can take 25% of that money and put it into the model and dollar cost our way in over the next year. Because even with a hard recession, if that occurs, valuations will drop so significantly that you'll be able to buy companies, great companies, at great prices. So it's a really good way of nibbling your way in while at the same time picking up a 4.5% risk-free rate over the next year.
I see.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
Here's your answer.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
That's it.
Write your check.
Closing comments, gentlemen?
Closing comments? You know, let's hope this rally continues. Let's hope we, you know, can get back to a 4,000 level. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were screaming for the S&P to go to 3,000 to 3,200. I heard a lot of that from people in the last month. We don't share that view. Could we hit harder times in 2023? Yes, but that's going to be dependent on what the Fed does and how deep they want this recession to be. We still believe that inflation has peaked here. There's plenty of deflationary forces happening right now. For example, natural gas in the Netherlands today is down 5% after being down 25% yesterday. You know, and now we're talking about a further, you know, further output from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, which Biden obviously wants to do heading into the midterm elections. No brainer, you know, why he's wants to do that. That's going to further bring down inflation from an energy perspective. But I'll throw one thing in here that no one's really talking about is what is going to be the ramifications from this hurricane. So if you're talking about a used car market that's already elevated year to date, but has been declining slowly over the last couple months, well, now you have 70,000 cars in that region that need to be replaced. And now you're going to talk about construction that needs to take place there. So what does that do to the cost of building materials? What does that do to the cost of the used car market? How does that feed into CPI? And does that make the Fed more aggressive than, you know, we're hoping for at this point in time?
Very interesting. Perfect. Looking ahead.
Manny, always a pleasure. Great job. Stamati, closing. Any comments?
Well, it's going to be, as Manny said, it's going to be, the markets is going to be a tough, ride. You cannot look at it on a daily basis, up 300, down 400. It's, the same way you don't look at the value of your house as every single day to see today went up, today went down. Mm-hmm. It's a long-term investment, and you have to look at all the different assets that you have, real estate, stocks, cash, and take a serious look at your goals with the kids or retirement, and take it, have the long, have a plan. That's the most important thing. Money can provide that, provide a plan based on what your goals are, what your assets are, and sleep well at night.
Yep, and make sure you own good companies because the market's going to be extremely volatile. But, again, this is you have to look at this not as the stock market, but a market of stocks, and which stocks do you own?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well said. Manny Stamati, thank you very much. Pleasure.
Have a great week.
And we'll do this all over again like we do each and every Tuesday at 11 o'clock. It's a market update with 12 Points Wealth Management, Manny Frangidakis. Have a great day, gentlemen.
And go Celtics tonight.
Go Celtics.
Let's go.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Adios.
Bye-bye.